In Jesus' name, we'll continue our services this evening, hearing from God's Word from the book of Genesis, the 39th chapter, verses 5 through 22. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. And she said, Lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And it came to pass that she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, Lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled, and got him out. And it came to pass, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, See, he hath brought in an Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass, when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid up his garment by her until his Lord came home. And when she spake unto him according to these words, saying, The Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, After this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and shewed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. Amen. First of all, in the beginning, I'd like to bring greetings from camp, the junior high retreat, where I was there with some of the others helping out as a big brother this time. And I would have to say that it was a joy to be there. It was we had a really good camp. The kids were well behaved, and there was supported staff, Daniel Hutta and Chris Fitzgerald were the director and assistant director there from Longview, and they had, we had a day yesterday to pause and to visit about the way and the journey, and there at camp even, we went over the rules and the rules and expectations. And the first and most important thing on the list was that we would be there at camp with the prayer that we'd be able to learn and study about God's Word. And God did then bless the camp. We had a lesson in the morning on God the Creator, And then before lunch, Kevin had a lesson on sin and its consequences. And then we had a lesson on friendship and some discussion then in the evening surrounding some of the questions in the question box. And so it was good to be there in a nice camp. Maybe I know with the ninth graders they had probably wished to be there as well. And this year, I think, if I remember right, it's the first year where it's split up. And just due to the numbers would be one of the main reasons, if I remember right. And that was a help, not having, there was probably over 60 students there, so it was helpful maybe not to have quite as large of a group. But thinking then of this theme for this Sunday, and thinking of this turn here this evening, we recall that the theme for today was faith endurance during difficulties. That wasn't, of course, here this morning, but I understand our brother had read about the last times where the disciples were questioning Jesus about the last times, and that was one of the gospel texts for this Sunday. But here, this text came to my mind when we think about Joseph, when we think of this matter of faith enduring during difficulties. This text here is familiar to all of us, or the life of Joseph. I'm sure you in there in Sunday school, we remember how, first of all, how Joseph was there with his brothers, and Joseph had found favor with his dad, and his brothers were jealous. Joseph was obedient and a believer. And the fruits of faith were evident in his life. And some of his older brothers, I don't actually know if they were believing, but we can see from their actions that they didn't have the fruits of faith. When they sold him into slavery, they wanted to actually kill him. These would be fruits from unbelief, to be in this condition, to want to kill your brother. And then one of the brothers said, well, let's not kill him, let's rather sell him. So that he was sold into slavery, as we remember, and brought there to Egypt. And it was a faraway country, far from home. And here he was all by himself. But he was all by himself as a believer. But yet God was with him. Joseph, and God was watching over Joseph. And we see how he was given strength. He even confessed his faith here in this faraway land. This country of Egypt, our brother, even one of the devotions at camp was related to how this country of Egypt can sometimes have been a picture of the world or unbelief. In a symbolic way, or a spiritual picture. So Joseph was there. He wasn't in unbelief, but he was surrounded by those in unbelief. And this story here, or this account, we can only imagine. He was there in he came to be brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, he was the officer of the Pharaoh, who was the ruler. Joseph got placed in his house, and God blessed Joseph and then blessed this Egyptian's house. In the beginning of our text here, we see that Joseph was put in charge over the affairs of the house and over all that was there, and the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. But there was only one thing that Joseph, that wasn't under his control. And Joseph here even relates to this. That during that time while he was there in the house, he was in charge of the food and everything. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, Lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. In other words, he's given me to be in charge of everything, and he was, aside from the master, there was no one greater in this house than I. He's telling this to Potiphar's wife. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. She was wanting to sleep with him, and Joseph was a young single man, and she was a married lady. And this would have been, on her part, the sin of adultery, to have relations, sexual relations outside of marriage. And for Joseph, not being married, we've heard this term in the Bible, fornication, to have sexual relations when one is not married. But these are sin. And the Bible tells us that someone who does these types of sins won't inherit the kingdom of heaven. Paul, in his letter to the Galatians, speaks of these matters. This was even one of the questions that had come up in our camp there in the question box. The students wanted to know, or asked about this matter, that what are sins unto death? What is a sin unto death? And so we visited some about this, that they would be such matters that the Bible speaks of, that when they are committed, that there is not faith in the heart. We visited that, how one wouldn't go from preciously endeavoring to believe to drunkenness or murders, and here in the fifth chapter of Galatians, it speaks of these. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, and it goes on to list several items here: envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And then Paul goes on to speak of what are the fruits of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So we see here, even in God's Word, this contrast in these matters. And as believers, it would be our hope and prayer that we could always be protected from such, these matters or these grievous sins that are here related of in the Bible. And as we visited there at camp, and has been visited many times in God's kingdom, that speaking of the danger of sin, that we would endeavor to keep faith and a clean conscience, and to not let sin build up. The enemy of souls, he wants us to fall into sin, and we know that we do. We fall into sin every day, but he wants us to fall into sin and to not put sin away, to not have it forgiven. And he would come and he would take our little finger, have us do some little, tell us that, hey, that's matter, that's no big deal. Don't worry about it. Don't even speak about it. And then pretty soon another matter may come along. Oh, don't worry about that either. In this way, then he has our finger, pretty soon our hand and our arm. And eventually, if matters aren't cared for, then this candle of faith would be extinguished or would go out. And the Bible also tells us about this, that what is the result of sin, that how it, James in his letter or his epistle speaks how that sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So here, back to our text, Joseph is faced with this temptation. And you young men, and perhaps young ladies too, more stronger, I think, in the young men. And all of us as guys, we are made different from, God has made us different. Men and women are made different. He has made us how he has seen fit, but these temptations in this text would be perhaps closer to the young men and the guys. Here he's far away from home. There's nobody there, no other believers. We can only imagine what the enemy of souls was whispering in one of his ears. That go ahead. Nobody will see. Who's going to know? There's nobody here that would be able to know about this. But on the other hand, Joseph's conscience also was speaking to him that, dear brother, this is sin. You do not want to do this matter. And in this case, his conscience won out in this battle. And he was able to confess his faith here to this wife, that how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? So then we see what happened then. This wife, she was angry. She didn't stop. So this even tells us how difficult the situation must have been. As it came to pass, and it came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day. So it was more than one time that she asked him. And here the enemy would also be working very hard. Now why don't you just give up? Cave into this temptation. But God was with Joseph and protected him there. He refused. It came to pass about this time, then it actually came to this moment where she actually grabbed a hold of him. So now they're in physical contact. She caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he just got out of there. He left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. The Bible teaches us to flee sin. Joseph here was given strength to do this, to flee sin. And so she became angry. I got ahead of myself. She became angry here then when he ran out. And so she called the other men of the field in, and she had his coat in her, or his shirt, must have been his shirt, or one of his clothes, in her hand there. So she made up a lie. She said that he had come in to her, and when she hollered out that he left. But we see clearly from God's word that this is not how it happened. So she lied then and said that he was there and he had fled when she cried out. So of course the master, when he heard these words, he was very angry. And you can only imagine how it would be. I know as a You husbands can surely imagine how this would be, how your anger would be kindled if you came home from work and realized or heard this account. It's sad here that it was the condition of his wife. This is even the sadder case, that she was so deceitful and lying. But he was angry and he threw her, Joseph, in prison. But yet, we see that, how was things in prison then for Joseph? God was still with Joseph. God's word tells us here, but the Lord was with Joseph and shewed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. If Joseph's master had known what the deceit and lies of his wife, his anger would have been kindled fully at his wife, and maybe we don't know what happened. Maybe that eventually, one would hope that he would have found out how things were in his household, but it doesn't tell us, we don't know what happened there. We know that he thought it was Joseph, so he had believed his wife and put Joseph in prison. But thinking then of our theme, how faith can endure during difficult times, this doesn't come from us. But we can only pray that God would give us strength. And as we think of this, we can remember this example of Joseph to help us in our lives of faith. There at school, you young believers, or in college, you single older believers, even this year, temptation could be close to have a relationship with one of the opposite sex from the world. This could be a temptation that could come. But we also know from God's Word how this also was not the instruction from God's kingdom to seek a spouse from the world, but that this also we understand through faith is a sin, and we would pray for strength to be protected even from this. But we can remember this example of Joseph. And it wouldn't only have to be this particular matter, but whatever matter it may be, a temptation that we might have. I have shared this before, but I'll share again. I had several years ago now, I think it was 2003, a business trip to Israel. And some of you other brothers or sisters have perhaps been on a business trip to go somewhere with those unbelieving coworkers from work to either a far country or even a different city in our country here. But you're away from home and you're away from the believers. I was there in Israel. It was only a week. Our brother Jeff here was there in the military for many years. Can fully relate to this, but for me it was only a week. It seemed like years. For on this trip, the coworkers I was with, they were nice guys, but they liked to drink. And they were there with the waiters, a couple of the restaurants where we went. The waiter had asked, well, what will you guys have with dinner? You know, I took our order and then asked if we wanted drinks. And for myself, I would take a water or a soda. I don't remember exactly the specifics, but I wouldn't have a drink as a believer. No, you know, and I was thankful that this wasn't a temptation for me, but it was, I was reminded of Joseph, though, because they didn't stop. They would persist. A couple of the different restaurants, the waiter, well, why don't, you know, you don't drink? Why not? Perhaps by the end of this trip, we'll get you to have a drink. That's where I remembered Joseph, that, how he was helped and prayed that God would help me. And he heard my prayers there, and I was given strength to be able to resist. But this is an example for us. And it was for me, then it was such a contrast, and I came back from this business trip the next weekend. I happened that year that I was a delegate and called to go to the summer services. And the services were there in Marquette, in Michigan. So to come back from the 1 week and then fly that next week to services and to get there to services and hear the singing of God's children, the throng of voices there at services, it was, I can't really describe it in words, the feelings. But you brothers and sisters can also, perhaps in your life, relate to a time when we've had these warm feelings. But then how many times we experience, seems like how many more times we experience how the cold and empty feelings that, and the many doubts that can come that sometimes we wonder that, am I even believing? Does God even remember me? But listen, dear brother and sister, the Heavenly Father surely remembers you. He knows each and every one of our hearts. He knows and He can see that when we even have the smallest of desires to yet believe, He will not leave us on the wayside. We remember even that parable of Jesus, and I don't remember exactly in which gospel now, but perhaps you remember that parable account of Jesus where he told the story of the shepherd having 99 sheep and the one sheep that had gone astray. And the shepherd then didn't stay with the 99 and just let that one sheep go astray. But he went and found that one straying sheep and brought it back to the fold there. There's a picture of that, how the good shepherd cares for even the smallest and the weakest of lambs. So yet this evening even, be uplifted and be comforted that believe all your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. And believe this gospel unto peace, freedom, and joy. It pays to believe, and we can trust in our Heavenly Father that He gives strength, and He'll give us strength. We have this desire in our heart to continue believing. And it is only faith that saves us. Our faith is strengthened through the gospel when we have our sins forgiven in the name and the blood of Jesus. Then this flickering candle of faith, even as we see these lights here now, these new candles, they kind of are made to resemble a flickering candle. And as you watch them here, every so often they kind of blink and flicker that to show a picture of how a real candle works. And that so often comes to mind that familiar song from our songwriter. Here as a flickering candle has been my life of faith. And so oft my feet so stumbling waver upon the way. But from the open fountain which freely flows in Zion, new strength I here receive. And isn't this the case, dear brother and sister, that through the message of the words of the gospel, through the blood and the body of our Lord Jesus, that through the work that He did in His name and blood, it's not anything that we've done, but through that work that He did there on the middle cross for us, that we could have hope of heaven. This gives us strength to continue believing. So tonight, continue yet for this evening, for another moment, believing. Believe sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. And I too need to hear and wish to hear this same gospel. Can you also bless me? I desire to believe along with you, dear brother and sister. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make His face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up His countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.